We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back to more John Chuckery.
He's in the zone.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show, hanging out on this Thursday evening with you. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us when you are on the go. Social media is at 92.9 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I am at JMCH316 on the Twitter machine. He is at underscore Dylon Matthews. This is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So the Atlanta Falcons did interview Ryan Nielsen for their open defensive coordinator position. So Nielsen is currently with the Saints. He's been their defensive line coach for the last handful of years. He's also been their co-defensive coordinator. He was the assistant head coach in 2021 for the Saints, but he's been their co-DC, and he's been, I think, for the last, what, four or five years, maybe a year or two longer than that. Well, let's see here. He was hired on February of 2017, so he's 6 years into being the defensive line coach. Look, they've had the Saints, if nothing else, the Saints have had a really good defensive line, right? I mean, whether it was Gillette or whether it's, you know, Marcus Davenport or what's the guy's name? The guy that sacked Matt Ryan all those times. See, this is where I'm brain dead. Cam Jordan. I almost said Cam Hayward, but I'm like, no, that's not right. So Cam Jordan. So, look, they've been a good defensive line of scrimmage team themselves. They've also had a really good offensive line of scrimmage. You look at the number of Pro Bowlers and stuff like that that they've had, you know, Ryan Ramczyk and guys like that, Pete and some of those guys, you know, they've always been a pretty good offensive and defensive line. So, you know, they like to get after the quarterback, you know, but again, he hasn't been their, you know, full-time defense coordinator. He's been just a co-defensive coordinator. I want a guy who's been, in all honesty, I want a guy who's been in the job and who's had the responsibility fall directly on his shoulders. I'm not saying that this guy wouldn't be a potentially good candidate, but, you know, he hasn't been a defensive coordinator in the NFL. Now, one guy who's been a defensive coordinator in the NFL is Steve Wilks. And, you know, as soon as he did not get the Carolina Panthers job, rumor and innuendo was going around about whether or not, you know, hey, could the Falcons be in the mindset to bring him in, you know, or potentially bring him in. Now, here's the thing. He's been a head coach twice, right? He took over for Bruce Arians, and then obviously he took over for Matt Rhule. So he's been a head coach a couple of times. Here's the only thing about Wilks that I wonder. You figure he wants to be a head coach again, and you figure that he did a pretty decent job in Carolina for what they had to work with. Remember, they traded Christian McCaffrey away, and they were, Who is it? PJ Tucker? PJ Walker? You know, pajama bottoms or whatever, flannel PJs or whatever it is. You know, PJ Walker, you know, they won some games with guys like that. You know, they were expecting to have Baker Mayfield. That whole thing didn't work out. They traded away, you know, arguably, you know, one of the best offensive players that they've had in their franchise history. Although, you know, obviously he's been beat up, banged up over the last few years, but he's been outstanding for the 49ers. But, you know, he's done some good things. And so you probably figure that, let's just say that he turns the Falcons let's just say he comes here, turns the Falcons defensive around in a short amount of time. He's probably going to get another head coaching gig, and he's probably going to be asked to, you know, look, a third of the league always fires their coach. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. I was surprised that Tepper didn't hire him on as the coach. I don't know about the whole Frank Reich thing. I mean, that just blew up for the, you know, Indianapolis Colts. But, you know, Wilkes is one of those guys that probably is going to be a head coach again. You know, he took over for Bruce Arians. He took over for Matt Rhule. So he's not started the season as a head coach, but he's been, you know, he's been a defensive coordinator in the league. He's been a DC for Carolina. He's been a DC for the Cleveland Browns. You know, he was even a DC for Missouri. So I just wonder about how long he would be here if he has any sort of success. Because I thought he did a good job in Carolina with what he had to work with. And I would think that he would be able to parlay that into a job. And at this point, you know, look, we're going to talk about Dan, you know, in a little bit here in the NFL Squib Kick. Dan Quinn, that is, you know, we'll talk about him. But, you know, I wonder if Wilkes is looking at being a head coach again in the NFL. Nothing wrong with that, you know, if that's what he wants to do. But I just don't need a rental DC. That's the only thing that I will knock about him, is that it could potentially just be a rental hire when all is said and done. All right, let's do a mock draft. This is from Pro Football Focus from Marcus Mosher. So they've got the Indianapolis Colts moving up to the number one pick. And with that pick, to Eric Ed Holmes' point, they select Will Levis out of Kentucky. The Texans at number two draft Bryce Young. Arizona drafts Will Anderson. The Bears, who swapped picks with the Colts, they draft Jalen Carter at number four. Seahawks, Tyree Wilson at number five. Detroit takes Brian Bresee at number six. C.J. Stroud is at seven. And then the Falcons get Miles Murphy, rated as the sixth player on PFF's big board. Here's what the write-up is. There wasn't a team in the NFL with a worse pass rush than the Falcons. How many times can we say that in a row? Last year, the year before that, the year. I mean, other than the Super Bowl year, we haven't generated pass rush since 2016. But anyway, while they were playing several rookies and young players, it's a unit that needs to improve. Murphy is less talented than Will Anderson Jr. or Tyree Wilson, but he is worth a top 10 pick since he can play both defensive end and defensive tackle in sub packages. Well, look, I'm a fan of Murphy. I would not mind that pick at all. CJ Stroud on this mock draft went one pick before, I would be tempted. I would very much be tempted to take a hold of CJ Stroud if he fell to eight. Yeah. I mean, I know we gotta load up on our defense and things like that, but you know, I would be very tempted. You know, I like Desmond Ridder. You know, he was my favorite draft pick from last year. But I think Stroud is just, I think he's one of those franchise-changing quarterbacks. Like, I, You know, and again, he can get out and he can have mobility. You know, we saw against Georgia. And again, if you watch C.J. Stroud, he did it against Northwestern. He won that game because of his legs against Northwestern when they were throwing into 50-mile-an-hour wind. You know, that was a Ryan Day special. But nonetheless, you know, he won the Northwestern game with his legs. He certainly did some damage against Georgia with his legs. But he can throw it all over the yard. He's accurate. He was throwing to NFL wide receivers. But I certainly like Miles Murphy. I like him a lot. You know, I'm going to be interested to see how Tyree Wilson grades out, you know, when it's combine time and just, you know, some of the things about him. I didn't see a whole lot of Tyree Wilson. I know who he is and, you know, I'm familiar with him. But I saw a lot more of Miles Murphy, Brian Brisee. I saw a lot more of those guys, you know, playing at Clemson. But I'm just saying, like, C.J. Stroud would be very intriguing if he fell all the way to 8. I still don't just see a scenario where he gets that far. I just don't. I just think that once he starts getting on a field, whether it's the combine or whether it's, you know, individual team workouts, when he just gets on the field and he starts just flinging it around, somebody's going to grab a hold of him. Somebody's going to grab a hold of him. I would much rather have C.J. Stroud if I'm the Colts than Will Levis. And again, you know, Will Levis may be a fine pro prospect, but and I when I saw him in person, like I said, he was Bo Callahan. But he did not play that well this year. And they were a very good running team. You know, they had Chris Rodriguez, and they could really run the football. Their offensive line maybe wasn't as good this year as last year, but they were still, you know, Chris Rodriguez was first-team All-SEC, you know, a first-team. He was preseason first-team All-SEC. You don't get, to, you know, in that conference, you don't just, you can't be just a ham and egger and get to that level. But they just didn't take advantage of it. And, you know, certainly their play caller, their wide receiver play and things like that. But I just was not that impressed by Will Levis. Just watching him, you know, in a lot of games this year, just was not that impressed. So we'll see. But, you know, if C.J. Stroud somehow fell to number 8, man, I'd be intrigued by that. But I do really like I do really like Miles Murphy, you know, as a guy who can play inside and outside. All right, when we get back, Kurt Heelan, we'll talk to him, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. What he has to say about the Hawks. We'll bounce around the league a little bit as well. Chuckery here in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to more John Chuckery.
No, I'm having a good time. Having a good time.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is a John Chuckery show coming to you live on this Thursday evening. As well, we're approaching the trade deadline in the NBA. We're past the halfway point of the season. All-Star game still coming up. A lot of news and notes as we look around the league. And, of course, a lot of things going on with our Atlanta Hawks. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Kurt Heelan. He is the lead NBA writer, managing editor for NBCSports.com. You can follow Kurt on Twitter at Basketball Talk. And Kurt, as always, man, appreciate the time. And, you know, a lot going on in the NBA, but a lot going on here in Atlanta with these Hawks.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not been the smooth transition and season at all with DeJounte Murray coming in. And certainly not, excuse me, certainly not the season the team or fans expected.
What do you make of all of the, for lack of a better term, backstage drama, of the things that have gone on behind the scenes with this team? I mean, you know, separate from what's happened on the court, what do you make of all of these stories that have come out about how dysfunctional, and that's the word that's been used and thrown around in NBA circles, about how dysfunctional this Hawks organization has been?
Yeah, it's been a talking point all season long. And partially, I think it started out just because Nate McMillan has a lot of friends around the league. He's been around forever. He has a lot of fans. But the challenges, I'm trying to think of the right word. I mean, look, there just doesn't seem to be a situation right now, or maybe it's getting there with, after all the changes, where there is a, where everyone was on the same page and pulling the rope in the same direction. And when that's not happening, when everybody doesn't have the same vision for what you're trying to build and do in the front office, it's messy and confusing, and you end up with kind of awkward decisions. And hopefully, you know, hopefully they are with this now, hopefully for Hawks fans, at least they're, whoever's driving the boat at this point, like at least everybody's hopefully, you know, rowing this thing in the same direction at this point, which I don't think was the case for a while. And that does bleed onto the court, man. Good ownership is still the greatest advantage, not just in basketball, but like professional sports. Like, good ownership matters.
So you mentioned about Nate McMillan, and, you know, of course, a few weeks ago, there was a story that came out that, you know, maybe he's considering retiring, and he kind of shot that down, but he also left it open that maybe at the end of the year, and there's a growing consensus about whether or not Nate McMillan will be the head coach of this team next year. What do you kind of get the sense is the future of Nate McMillan with this organization?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know anybody around the league who thinks Nate McMillan will be back next season with the Hawks. That the choices they've made, the direction they're going is not, he's there for right now, but he will not be back next year. That they will get a coach they feel is better suited to getting more out of this young core. I mean, that's part of it too, is that fair or not, whether this is all on him or not, or however you feel about him, coaches are scapegoats, man, professional sports. Like, if things don't go right above you or just players aren't executing, you get the blame for it, whether that's fair or not. And I don't want to say Nate's blameless in a disappointing season, but it's also all not on him. But sometimes that's what it's the easiest move to make because he can't fire the coach and GMs don't like to fire themselves.
Well, let me ask you then, follow up with that. So do you think that if Nate McMillan leaves this position, do you still think that he's a viable commodity, that he will get an NBA coaching job after this and he'll be in whatever demand that there is, sort of demand to get an NBA job in the offseason?
First off, I would imagine he is back on someone's bench next year as an assistant. Nate McMillan it could be another situation where if he gets a head job, it's because he took over midseason like he did here, right? Like he did in Atlanta. Maybe that's what happens, but how should I put this? He's not seen around the league as a dynamic, innovative, cutting-edge young coach. But he can also be just solid. And sometimes, depending on where you are with your organization, just a professional coach can be what you actually need. So I never rule anything, there's very few coaches I would ever rule out of getting a job again.
Kurt Helan, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com, joining us here in the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, and one guy that I've said that DeJounte Murray is the MVP of this team. He's not necessarily the best player. I still think that falls on Trey and things, but he's made so many winning basketball plays. And you look at his contract status, he's under contract this year, he's got one more year, and then he can walk. Do you get the sense that DeJounte Murray is, comfortable playing with this organization, comfortable playing with Trae Young? We know Trae Young recruited him pretty heavily, but, they paid a pretty good price if he's just going to walk in 2 years. But you're also looking at probably a guy who maybe isn't max, but boy, he's on the cusp of straddling that max money type of line. What do you think about the future of Murray?
Yeah, he would have a lot of interest from around the league because he's a two-way guard, because he deflects everything. He's got those long arms because he's a good defender. Plus, he can just kind of run the show and plays this work on or off the ball. Like, you can put him in a lot of different situations and have there's an absolute demand for him around the league. And you're right. I would say not max, but relatively close to it with today's salary cap numbers. Those are eye-popping numbers. Yeah. But I think teams would see him as having that kind of – look, this point guard is still the DB position. It is is where your best player is, but go ask the Clippers. Go ask the Knicks how much functional point guard mattered, right? Just in terms of like winning some games and not looking like crap every night. I think that there would be a high demand for him, and he's going to have to – I don't know how frustrated he is or isn't with – I don't want to spend on where his mindset is, but he's in the advantage position of just having options. If he's – it's not just the money going to be good money anywhere – he'll be able to go where he wants to play, where he thinks he can make a difference, where he feels he fits. The Hawks have a year to make that Atlanta for him. I mean, he came there. He sounded like he wanted to be there. They're going to have to ensure it.
Let's bounce around the league a little bit. Is it very probable that Joker's in line to pick up his third straight MVP with the West and the Wade and the way he's played? Is it very possible that he's going to win his third straight MVP?
It's definitely possible. We'll see. I don't think Luka's totally out of the picture yet, but a lot of guys have eliminated themselves. Eliminated themselves is maybe the wrong way to phrase that, but like Kevin Durant was absolutely in the mix for this award, and I think he's just going to miss too much time. Stephen Curry was maybe the best player in the league until he got injured and has missed all this time. And then one of Jokic's advantages, on top of the wild on-off numbers and just the fact that he's really good, is that he's durable. I mean, he plays 75-plus games a year when everybody else is playing 65, and that when you're thinking about how much value you're adding to a franchise, how valuable you are as the most valuable player, being on the court matters. It matters a lot. Yeah. So it's not – I mean, I think I had him – I did this a while ago, and the Mavericks have stumbled since then, which I'm not totally I got a feeling it's more Luka wearing down because, you know, Atlas can only carry the Earth for so long now. That heliocentric system is a little much for him, for anyone. But that could be to their advantage. And I think there's voter fatigue. I think that's real. Guys with Jokic, and he'd have to be overwhelming, and they would have to win. They are winning. They are. And he has been as impressive as ever. So there is a very real chance he picks this up.
How far ahead of everybody else in the Eastern Conference is the Boston Celtics?
When healthy right now, I think pretty far. Enough of a step that I would trust them more in a 7-game series. I'd be close, but they're a little bit thinner this year. They are out looking for another Jay Crowder, PJ Tucker type, and a little more depth. They have four really great players, and it drops off after that. I think Boston trusts its depth a little more. Brooklyn's good, but I think you can push them around. I think the team that might give them the most trouble, the second best team, might be Philly. I mean, they've been playing so much better lately. The challenge there is just they've had more than his share of big game, elimination game meltdowns. And I don't know if that cancels out with the massive number of elimination game meltdowns that Doc Rivers teams have had, or if it just kind of, you know, it's a multiplier. They're going to have to prove they can do it on this biggest of stages, but right now they might look like the second best team just because they've kind of got Tobias Harris is a good player. And since they moved De'Anthony Melton into the starting lineup and when they're healthy and they can bring Maxey off the bench, that's a really good, dangerous team.
Is the one team in the Eastern Conference that maybe nobody wants to play in a first-round matchup is the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yeah. I think they're going to be incredibly good in a few years, but I am a believer that you do have to learn how to win, I think, at a certain level in the NBA. And you can do that and transfer it, like the 2008 Celtics win the title that first year that Garnett and Pierce and Allen are all together, but they'd all learned less in other places they could bring with them. I think this team is so young. Outside of Donovan, none of them have a ton of playoff experience, except for Kevin Love, obviously. I think there's a learning curve there, and they've got to figure out what they're going to do. They don't have a lot of great wing defenders, and that's going to be a little bit of a problem going up against Boston or Milwaukee with those elite wing players. So I still think that they're a year away, but I also think in the next few years, let's put it this way, in the next few years, the Cleveland-Memphis finals, that may not be the television suit's favorite matchup, but I think we could be on the way to that.
Last question for you, Kurt. Are the Sacramento Kings the most surprising team in the NBA this year?
A little bit. They're better than I thought they were. I mean, I thought they'd maybe fighting for one of those 7-8 playoff spots, and they've been obviously at 3. They're way better than that, even in a crowded West. And aren't they just – I don't know. It feels like the best story of the NBA, the most positive story in the NBA this year to me. Just that is such a starved fan base for, I mean, 16 years.
Yeah.
I believe the last time they made the playoffs, there was a Bush in the White House. Like it's been forever since then. And the way they've not only rallied behind Sabonis, and it's a fun team to watch. It's a fun team to watch on League Pass if you get the chance, because they are a really good offensive team with Sabonis and Fox, and they don't play any defense. So it's just a shootout every night, and that'll catch up to them in the playoffs, but just making the playoffs is fun for them. The whole city has rallied behind the light the beam thing they've got going, which feels like it could have been corny, but like everybody's buying in and they're loving it, and the fan base is loving it. And you know what? It's good to have those stories. It's good to see a long tortured fan base be rewarded like this.
On Twitter, at Basketball Talk, he is the lead NBA writer and managing editor for NBCSports.com. Kurt Helin joined us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Kurt, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. Good to catch up, and we'll chat again here soon.
I look forward to it, man. Take care.
You got it. John Chuckery. We'll be back. Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Attention, adoring fans!
Back to more John Chuckery.
Hey, folks, how you doing?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back with you, John Chuckery Show, hanging out in Kia Studios. Thursday night with you. Been a long time since we did a Thursday night show, like literally before the NFL season started. So probably like end of August or something like that. Been a while. So hanging out with you here till 11 o'clock. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app site, catch on the go. Social media at 910 The Game, at JMCH316. Excuse me. At underscore Dylan Matthews. We will be here tomorrow night, by the way, too. So we got a Friday show, which we haven't done in quite a while. I don't know when the last time we did a Friday show was, because we had the high school show, and then maybe before the start of high school. Maybe the week before like Labor Day or something like that.
Probably was, because then the high school show went up until right about Christmas.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you were gone, obviously.
I was brain dead, and then, you know, I was for a few weeks there, I was brain dead, and then we had the high school show.
So, yeah, it had to be probably before high school football season.
Yeah, so that would be
I'd be close to September, August, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, August somewhere. Yeah, because they start in August. Like, heck, most schools already have a month in by the time they get to Labor Day and everything like that, so... my daughter's passed 100 days at school a week or so ago. So they're really on the downhill slope of going to school. So won't be long. I mean, won't be long for everybody getting out. But anyway, we'll get to what's bugging Chuckery here in just a minute. We're going to talk a little bit about the Royal Rumble coming up at 10:40. Since we got Rank'em coming up tomorrow night, it is a Friday. We're going to do some Royal Rumble talk tonight, as the pay-per-view is on Saturday, or the premium live event is Saturday night. So, and I'm a big fan of the Royal Rumble. It's next to WrestleMania. This is my favorite pay-per-view of the year. I like the Rumble match. When the Rumble's done right, it's a great match. I like the Women's Royal Rumble, the 2019 Women's Royal Rumble, when Becky Lynch won that thing. That was fantastic. The way that they booked all that, and it was great, you know, taking over for Lana and, you know, Fit Finley putting her in the Rumble. Like, that whole angle was great. So we'll talk about that at 10:40. We got That's Life, obviously, coming up at 9:20 tonight. So, all right, let's get to What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dylon, have you heard of this show, this Power Slap show?
Yes.
That's put on by Dana White?
Yes.
Okay.
I've seen the videos, too. So.
Okay.
I'm ready to hear this.
This is the ultimate trailer park trash show on all of TV. This is the most ridiculous concept in the history of mankind. Where can you go from here? Stabbing somebody with a sword? Cutting off limbs? Where does it go from here? And listen, if you think I'm brain dead, these are some of the most brain dead people. They literally are just openly inviting concussions and things. You know, Chris Nowinski, who is a big
Well, he's a former WWE wrestler. Okay, he does a lot of work with with CTE, with concussions, and he's very involved in it because that's why he got out of wrestling and things. Okay, and he's very heavily involved. I don't know, like he's an Ivy League guy that went to school there and things like that, but. He did some breakdowns of some of this stuff, and like he was like, you can see that guy getting his concussion. Like, this is the ultimate trailer park trash show.
We're literally watching people get concussed.
Yeah.
I mean, you see, like, in some of the videos that have surfaced, you see there's, like, a lady, she's stumbling, a dude, he just completely falls out. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, this is legitimately creating brain damage on TV. This looks like, you know, like that Honey Boo Boo show is like like Ivy League level stuff compared to this. It is just the lowest of the low. And Dana White is, look, he's already all goofed up, right? He was just, you know, the reason that they had to delay the show a week when they debuted it is because he was caught on video slapping his wife. So how big of a goofball is he? Who would watch this stuff? Especially when you know that people are legitimately getting hurt. Again, like, what's left? Sword fights where we just cut limbs off of people? It's ridiculous watching this kind of stuff.
Especially, like you said, after everybody knows, you know, of what has happened to certain NFL players who have, officially suffered from CTE. You know the effects of having concussions and things like that. It's hard to know that you can watch this.
I mean, you know, as a guy who's had a heart attack, had a stroke, you know, obviously had some brain things going. How can you sit there and watch all of this nonsense? It's again. And by the way, the ratings, like when it I think it's debut, because it comes on after AEW wrestling on Wednesday night. I think its debut was like less than 300,000 people. Like it was 200.
Good.
It was 280,000 people that watched it. Okay, that's 290,000 more people than I would ever want to talk to or associate with. Because there's 10,000 production people and executives and things like that. Let me tell you, I wouldn't associate with any of those people that were sitting around and watching this. Literally.
Because what? Do you really not have anything better to do? Call me. I can give you so many other shows that are better to watch. So many other things that you can. It's better to watch paint dry than to watch that.
How about just let's film? I take a hammer and smash your foot. Like honestly, like I know. Let's film. I pull your fingernails out with pliers. I mean, and I saw somebody, some guy, like they were, the payout on something like this was like $2,000. And I'm thinking, okay, so I caused permanent brain damage to myself for $2,000. I'd live in a dishwasher box before I'd take $2,000 to invite myself to a concussion or brain damage or anything like that.
Because these are big people slapping you. This ain't me, skinny person slapping you. These are like ripped people
and
slapping you.
And they practice it on a regular basis to where they have the technique and the force
to knock you out.
Right, because that's what the goal is. Hey, here's the show that invites brain damage from people stumbling around on the floor. And Dana White's in charge of all of it. This is a ridiculous thing to watch on television. I didn't see the show. You know, I've seen like the video of it, like, you know, like they show them online, people slapping each other. Like this whole movement. Have we so regressed in the United States of America that this is what passes for entertainment? Like, honestly, if this is what entertainment has become, it needs to die. We need to go back to reading books or getting a walk in the fresh air or something.
How about just put together a puzzle? Let's do a nice puzzle instead of watching that.
Listen, fill out a crossword puzzle, whatever. But, I mean, if this is what entertainment has come to, then we have failed as a society. Then we in the United States of America have to have a long, hard look inside of ourselves, because these people are openly causing permanent damage. And again, you only get one brain, you only get one heart. And once you screw those things up, sometimes there's no recovery. I was lucky, you know? I survived a 100% blockage widowmaker heart attack. I had a moderate stroke. I'm the lucky one. But if you think I would sit there and let somebody slap me for $2,000. That's what some of these people were talking about. Yeah, they got like $2,000. What, can you not pay the rent? Like, can you not turn tricks to pay the rent? You have to go get slapped in the face? The whole thing is the lowest of the low, and it's just a crap show. And again, I'm not surprised Dana White's involved in all of it. They said that this league that they have could become the UFC of slapping. Let's hope it dies. Let's hope all of this dies. Again, even I have an ounce of humanity about me that I'm not wishing permanent brain damage on people. But you talk about some of those Cro-Magnon people that are on those shows and inviting brain damage. You know what? Sometimes natural selection is at work, and, you know, sometimes you reap what you sow and all that. But it is the ultimate just trash television show on a major cable network. I need to talk to Steve Coonan and say, wait a second.
Right.
You know everybody over there. You need to get that thing off the air. And the only reason they delayed it is because the guy who's running it was slapping his wife on video.
I mean, and how did that pitch even go to the cable network? And why would they even pick that up?
Right.
Hey, I got a great idea. We're going to have people come on here and just slap each other to death.
Like, I could see, like, if it was on Vice or some ridiculous
or
channel.
Zeus or something like that.
But it's on TBS.
Just put more of that Dwayne Wade show on there. I'd rather you put that on there, that game show with Dwayne Wade.
I'd rather you just run a color test pattern on TV for an hour
and
do all of that. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. All right, when we come back, are we still doing the tease of the week? Because I got a good tease here. Are we still doing the tease of the week? Are we still handing out dinners and stuff like that?
I believe the tease of the week has stopped. Mike sent an email that it was stopped until he finds a budget for it.
Okay. All right. Well.
So yeah, because we run up too many checks getting all these dinners.
Okay. Well, yeah, I was gonna say they still owe us a dinner because I was a three-time winner, three-time winner,
three-time in a row too, right?
No, not in a row.
A two-time in a row.
Yeah, two-time in a row, but three-time overall. All right, let's have the tease of the week. Houston, we may have a problem if we don't bring Justin home. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.